Are you there in Matthew chapter 1? If you're there, say, I'm there. Starting in verse 18, and you can read along or follow along. They'll put it up behind me if you don't have your Bible or your phone with you. And in verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded to him, and took to him as his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. To me, the most amazing part of the Christmas story is that the creator of all the world would come and dwell amongst the created. That the majesty of heaven would come and lay in a manger. And you know, we have a lot of imagery of what the nativity might have looked like. And this is the nativity that I grew up looking at as a child of the 1980s. Come on, where are the kids of the 80s at here? Let me hear from you. Come on. And I grew up looking at this, and I still remember as a little kid going and laying down on the ground in our living room. And just staring intently in wonder and awe at this nativity. And it was always underneath a real fresh tree that we had gone. Remember, there used to be Christmas tree lots all over town on the corners of grocery store parking lots and different places all throughout town. And we would go and we would pick out that tree and bring it home. And we would lay it on its side and we would cut the end of the stump off. And we would go and we would set it up in that rickety little red and green little tin tray thing, you know, that had the four lag bolts or whatever you call them that you would screw into the side of the tree to hold it in place. I don't know how that thing ever stayed upright. And then remember, you would have to go and every day or two, especially when it was fresh, more often than not, you had to go and find a way to somehow navigate everything that was going on underneath the tree to take a pitcher of water and keep some water in the bottom of that red tin bowl. And I remember so often through the Christmas season going and just laying underneath the light of that tree and the aroma, the fragrance of the pine tar and the needles beginning to drop and fall upon that white smock, frock, what is that thing called? That thing that my mom would place underneath the tree, and I would lay and just gaze upon the nativity. And you know, we have this perception, and much of it is ornate and glossy. You know, this one's actually a little bit more true to life and real life maybe than some that are shiny and glossy and ornate. And I just wonder if the reality was different than our perception. That the reality, and we'll sing this song later, a silent night, a holy night where all was calm and all is bright, was not Mary's reality. That the reality was a noisy, dirty, smelly stable. You know, nothing is lost on God. Everything happens for a reason. Listen to me this morning. Everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a purpose. And when God began to initiate the plan to send his son to pay the price for sin and to save us back to himself, he could have done it any way he saw fit, but he chose to come humbly in a manger. I believe it was God prophetically declaring and saying, when I go to my people, to be with my people and to become their Savior. I'm going in a way that helps them see, hear, and know that I'm not going to just be interested in the high points of life, the moments that'll be Instagram worthy. I'm going in such a way that they see, that they hear, and that they know that no moment is beneath me. No circumstance is beyond me. In the good times of life, I'll be Emmanuel, God with you. In the difficult circumstances, I'll still be Emmanuel, God with you. And no matter what you go through, no matter what life brings to you, I'll be Emmanuel, God with you. And according to Romans 8, nothing will be able to separate you from my love. Not death, not life, not angels or demons, not our fears of today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm not some far off God. I'm Emmanuel. I'm God with you. Come on, look at your neighbor this morning and say, He's God with you. He's God with you. He's God with you. He's not some far off God. He came to be with us. And no matter what you go through, He'll be with you. He came for relationship. He came for relationship. Listen, religion is man's futile attempt to get to God. But Christmas is the story of God's victorious plan to get to man. Religion is man's futile attempt to make ourselves right with God. Christmas is the implementation of God's triumphant plan to make us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He came for relationship. He came to be God with you. He came to establish a relationship with you that could not be shaken by the circumstances of life. No matter what you're going through today, you need to hear me. He's God with you. It's the story of Christmas. You shall call His name Emmanuel, for He will be God with you. And just before it says, you will call Him Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. And in the midst of the silent night, the holy night, where all is calm and all is bright, in the midst of the nativity, I want to remind you that the mission of Christmas, the motive of the nativity, was always the forgiveness of sins. You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Listen, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As we sang that last song, I just began to weep as it just began to share about the hope that sinners had, because heaven was coming to make a way and make it right and pay the price. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us had this issue called sin. And you might say, keep it, Pastor T, it's Christmas. Keep it positive. I'm positive all of us have sinned. All of us had a need for a Savior. And the manger happened with the cross in mind. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Giving at Christmas is not man's idea. It was God's idea. Giving is the verb of the Bible. He loved you, but He didn't just love you. He gave. And it's the giving of Jesus that made a way, that made it right, that paid the price. God could have loved us from far off, but He said, it's not enough that I just express my love through the written word. It's not enough that I just tell them that I love them. I'm going to be with them. I'm going to walk in the world and the dirt that they walk in. I'm going to, according to God's word, experience every trial, every temptation that's common to man. It's one thing to write a letter from far off. It's another thing to hand deliver the letter and to present it to someone and say, I love you so much. I didn't just want to send a messenger. I wanted to come myself and tell you myself how much I love you, how much I desperately desire to be restored to relationship with you. It's a gift. It's the season of giving. And come on, how many of y'all hope you're expecting and anticipating a wonderful Christmas with family and friends? I'm a dad of four kids now, and so I'm learning, I'm finding, I'm discovering that somehow, some way, as much as I enjoyed the presents under the tree when I was a kid, I'm enjoying being the one that's giving those gifts. And I heard it recently that there's four stages of a man's life. When you believe in Santa. Second season, you don't believe in Santa. Third season, you are Santa. Fourth season, you look like Santa. And I'm finding myself, I think I'm somewhere between 3 and 4, but I'm clinging on to 3 as long as I can. Come on, who's with me? It's the season of giving. It's the season of giving. And you know, God gave us, we talk about Santa, we joke and it's fun, you know. But I think it's actually a little bit creepy, dare I say, that Santa, someone is seeing me when I'm sleeping and knowing when I'm awake. And he's making a list and he's checking it twice and he knows whether I've been naughty or nice, right? Isn't that what we sing? And I just think it's fascinating that in the season where we're remembering and rejoicing and celebrating over the gift of God, we begin to train ourselves to think you'll receive if you do it right. You'll receive if you're good. You better be nice. He's watching. And I just want to encourage you, the gift who is Jesus is a free gift that has nothing to do with our ability to ever earn it or deserve it. You'll never earn it and you'll never deserve it. It's the free gift of God given to us by the grace of God. Come on, dare I say it was given because we were naughty. He's the gift of God. John 4, Jesus described himself as the gift of God. And you know, in the season of giving, I'm reminded about gifts you really need and gifts you really want. There's a difference. How many of you know? When it really all comes together is when it's both. When you get a gift that's both, something you really need and something you really want. But think about it, kids, the gift that you need, you know, I mean, in my life, there's some gifts I need. I need new socks and underwear. I want Chiefs playoff tickets. I said, I want Chiefs playoffs tickets. Romans 5:8 said, God demonstrated his own love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We had a need. God gave a gift. Something special begins to happen when we begin to relate to Jesus in a way that he's both. Something we desperately needed. Someone we desperately want. We all had the need. He came and he met the need. And now the invitation of Christmas is an ongoing relationship in which every day, not just Christmas Eve, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, not just Easter, every day, we have the opportunity to awaken and say, Lord, thank you for paying the price that I could not pay. And now more than anything else in this world, I desire a relationship with you. I'm reminded the story of a man who got a speeding ticket. Now, he doesn't go to this church. You guys wouldn't do that, right? But the story of a Christian man who got a speeding ticket. And he just happened to be having lunch with his good friend who just happened to be a county judge. And they were catching up on things. And he said, yeah, a couple weeks ago I got a speeding ticket. And he said to his friend who was a county judge, would it be possible for you to take care of it for me? And they were close friends and they did a lot of favors for one another. And so the friend who was the county judge said, well, sure, I'll take care of it for you. A couple weeks later, they were playing golf and the friend said, hey, I just want to say thank you for dismissing that ticket for me. And the judge said, well, I didn't dismiss it. And he said, well, yeah, but I got notice that it had been taken care of. And he said, but I didn't dismiss it. And he said, well, what did you do? And he said, I paid it. I paid it for you. And the friend said, well, that's not what I meant for you to do. I meant because you're the county judge. I meant that you would go and do your judge thing and pull some strings and get it dismissed. And he said, well, did you speed? And the man said, well, yeah. And he said, well, what kind of judge would I be? He said, justice demanded that the price be paid. What kind of judge would I be if I just dismissed it? I didn't dismiss it. But I told you I would take care of it. I went and I paid it. Sin had to be dealt with. God in his holiness and his perfection couldn't turn a blind eye to it. He couldn't just dismiss it. But he loved us too much to allow it to remain on our record. He sent his son. It's what Christmas is all about. Come on, the manger happened with the cross in mind. He sent his son. Not to dismiss or look the other way, but to pay the full price, the full penalty for the weight of our sin. Can I ask our worship team to come and begin to help me to close this service and begin to shift into our candle lighting time? The manger happened with the cross in mind. Now go ahead, church family. Would you also just stand to your feet? Stand to your feet. You'll be seated again here in a moment, but just stand to your feet. I want us to stand in response. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gift, who is Jesus. The gift of a heavenly Father who loved you so much that he could not stand for you to remain separated by the punishment that was due for the reality of your sin. So according to God's word, in just the right time, he sent Jesus. He initiated this plan that all of heaven had been anticipating, because God's word says that Jesus was crucified from the foundations of time. It was always in God's heart. He always knew he would initiate it. It was just a matter of time before God sent Jesus and said, now you're going to go and you're going to pay the price and you're going to win back your bride. You're going to go and you're going to bring the forgiveness, the redemption, the restoration, the reconciliation of the cross. But I'm not sending you in as some high and mighty Savior. I'm sending you in as a humble king born to a virgin and laid in a manger. Because you're going to experience everything that led to sin. But you're going to do it in a way that allows you to be the spotless one, the blameless one, the one that's worthy to be slain. The one who's worthy to shed your own blood and to pay the price for the sin that our people cannot pay for, that they could never earn or deserve. But I'm sending you Jesus because I so loved the world I gave. A season that we give, let's be reminded that God gave the ultimate gift. If you're here this morning, maybe you once served God and you're a prodigal son or daughter. You've drifted or you've gone and you've tried to live it your own way. That's who I once was. Or you're here this morning and you're just far from God and you recognize this morning your need for a Savior. I want to give you the opportunity to respond and to receive the gift today. If that's you this morning, perhaps your heart is just burning. Perhaps your heart is beating a little fast. You know it's you. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and causes us to call upon Jesus. If that's you this morning, I just want you to lift your hand. That's all I'm asking you to do today. It's just say, Pastor T, that's me. I just want to know who I'm praying for this morning. Just lift your hand towards heaven and say, that's me. I'm far from God and I need to be made right. I'm far from God and I want to receive in faith today the gift of salvation, who is Jesus Christ. And at Rev City, we say this often, we're a family. We pray this as a family. And so if you raised your hand this morning, I want you to pray it with everything that's in you. But I want to ask our entire church family to pray this. It's a reminder to us of our need for a Savior. It's a reminder to us of the message of Christmas. So come on, church, with everything in your heart, repeat this after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you that life. I give you my trust. And I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, church, say it one more time. I'll never be the same. Come on, can we put our hands together for those who responded in their heart and by faith to receive the gift of Jesus? Jesus.